Hey, good day, everybody. Welcome to the VVK Podcast. My name is Craig Folley. Thank you so much for joining me today and taking that extra step to download this podcast. I know it's kind of a big deal, given all the choices out there, so I do appreciate the fact that you have decided to check out this one. Now, the goal of this podcast each and every day is to talk to interesting people doing cool work around the community. And today, we're going to speak to somebody whose job it is specifically to get you enthusiastic about coming to the city of Detroit, about being here and getting others to visit. His name is Chris Moyer. He's the Senior Director of Communications for Visit Detroit, also known as the Detroit Convention and Visitors Bureau. Should be an interesting conversation. And not only did he do that, but he also used to work for the Detroit Regional Chamber. So he has a little bit to say about putting on that annual Mackinac Policy Conference and how much work goes into that. So we'll get something out of this conversation today. I hope get you enthusiastic about visiting the city of Detroit. And of course, these were recorded up at the Mackinac Policy Conference. There may be a dated reference or two, but hey, try to look past it. I certainly will. Have a great one. Stick around. This is the VVK Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Folley. Very glad to have you with us today. And hopefully you are enjoying these interviews we've been doing live from the Grand Hotel as we are at the Detroit Regional Chamber's annual Mackinac Policy Conference. We've been talking to a lot of different people, finding out what they get out of a conference like this one. But we also thought it'd be important to talk to somebody who's been intimately involved with creating something like this. My guest today is Christopher Moyer. He is the Senior Director of Communications.
That's me.
For Visit Detroit and the Detroit Visitors Convention Bureau. But you used to work here at the Detroit Regional Chamber in the Senior Communications role as well. Welcome. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Craig, this is great. It is fun to be here. It is great to be back at the Mackinac Policy Conference. And it's really interesting to be on the other side of it as an attendee, as opposed to somebody that is helping to make magical experiences, those Mackinac moments, for the attendees. My time at the chamber was truly every day. It was a wonderful labor of love.
Well, you know, I sort of liken the planning for this, and this is just my thought process. I've never been directly involved with the planning of this event, but it seems to me it's sort of like painting the Mackinac Bridge, that you're never done with it. You know, once you finish, then you just start over again, and it's a continuous thing. So I'm assuming that the planning begins for the next one as soon as this one wraps up.
I mean, what a perfect analogy, because you were spot on. Tomorrow... I don't know this because I wasn't intimately involved in this the last few months of planning for this event.
But you were here till March.
I was here till March. Yeah. But Arn Tellem, who is the conference chair and the vice chair of the Pistons Sports and Entertainment, he and Sandy Barua, the president and CEO of the Detroit Regional Chamber, will sit down and give an interview to Detroit Public Television and talk about the 2022 to-do list, which is something that they want to get accomplished by the 2023 conference, you know, 362 days from now, which is really cool. It's very special. And that immediately sets the stage for the planning of the next event, because, as you said, planning starts basically tomorrow as soon as it's ended. And I know that there have been conversations that happen about, hey, what do we want to make sure coming out of this one that we accomplish for next year?
You know, you're in a really interesting position, though. I mean, given your current role at Visit Detroit, I mean, this is just a whirlwind couple of weeks here.
Yeah.
I mean, you get off the island, immediately the Grand Prix is happening on Belle Isle. And then, of course, the planning for next year's, which is going to be downtown, is going to completely alter all of that. It just, how does it feel when all this stuff is like upon you at once, and then finally it's like, okay, get a chance to breathe when the Grand Prix is over, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, and we're coming off of movement, which was just a
smashing success,
really great success. And you know, when you see it, and you see the fun that people had, you see the way that actually it was a really great and safe event too. We were talking with Police Chief White yesterday, and he gave glowing reports of how successful it was and how safe it was, and just then you hear about how fun it was, and you see how fun it was, and you hear how fun it was. It's great. Then, as you said, we've got the Grand Prix next week, the last one on Belle Isle. So come be a part of history. I mean, tickets are basically sold out at this point, but there are still opportunities to experience this. And then, you know, we're in the height of summer travel season right now. And 40% of all travel that happens in the state of Michigan, 40% of all hotel stays happens in the Metro Detroit area, whether it's Detroit, Wayne County, Oakland County, or Macomb County. People think pure Michigan, they think Mackinac, they think Traverse City. It really does happen and starts and has so much complexity in the Detroit region. So that's exciting. It's picking up really fast.
You know, I want to ask you about that because movement in particular. You've got people coming from all over the globe for this festival. They absolutely love it. I mean, Detroit is an absolute destination for them, and it's a bucket list place for a lot of people that are into that scene. Do you find that it's Michiganians and the Michiganders, excuse me, whatever one you want to use, and Detroiters sometimes that are the most surprised that people actually want to come see the place?
I think, you know, Detroiters have an intrinsic love. We're so proud of our city, of our region. We wear that on our sleeves, on our chest, on the top of our ball caps, and that love sometimes also is one that is cognizant of the failings of our region and our area, because we're not perfect. We all know this, and so that engenders a degree of, hey, why would somebody want to come here? And they forget all the good that's around them. It's kind of a weird juxtaposition that they've got both sides of it. But you hit the nail on the head. People truly come from all over the world for movement. They come from all over the world to see our incredible art scene, whether it's the DIA or the murals that beautify our city and the region. People are coming for the automotive tourism that with Detroit being the global home of mobility. Henry Ford, you've got the M1 concourse up in Oakland County. You've got the Dream Cruise coming up in August. These are things that attract people from all over the world because it's a bucket list thing to do to come to Motown.
You know, it seems though, you know, certain places are thought of as like tourist meccas, right? You know, you think of the Parises of the world or Las Vegas or something like that. Do they do things better when it comes to marketing themselves than we do? And how have we improved in terms of making the tourist experience better?
Yeah, that's a great question. And there are places, when you go to Paris, you go to a place like Florence. These are walking museums. Mm-hmm. Detroit is a vibrant, real, authentic place where there are tourists intermingling with people that live here every single day, and there's something special about that. I mean, New York's another great example of that. I mean, New York attracts more visitors than any other place in the United States, but it's also a place where, you know, millions and millions of people live, and so. Yes, there is a brand that's associated with New York, with Las Vegas, with Paris that just attracts people. And then there's the authenticity of our city, our region, the people wanting to have that conversation with Detroiters, with people from Oakland County, Wayne County, Macomb County, that attract many other folks to our region.
You know, but I think one of the things that I like about the fact that Detroit isn't sort of a tourist mecca kind of place, we do have a lot of tourism, obviously.
Yeah.
But, you know, we don't have tourist traps here, per se.
That's
there
right.
is no, I mean, I'm sorry, Times Square, that's all that is. You got people running around in Spider-Man costumes and, like, M&M stores and dumb stuff like that. Fisherman's Wharf, San Francisco, same sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's a tourist trap. It's almost a cliche. I think that's an asset.
It's a huge asset.
Even though that's the first thing that people go see when they go to those other places.
Yeah, I mean, travel is changing. Travel is changing, and so the travel industry that supported tourist traps with kitschy kind of experiences, that doesn't appeal to people anymore. They want to embed themselves in a community, in an environment, even if it's for 48 hours. They want to know what it's like to be a local in that community. And so the fact that we don't have a bunch of chain opportunities, and then that you have places like Selden Standard, that you have places like Tocoi, you have bars that have character, that you have attractions that have deep resonance and meaning with people, that gives us a leg up significantly.
And how do you... is that something that factors into your marketing efforts and the way that you promote the city and the region?
Yeah, it 100% does. That's what we lead with. And somebody that is in the Detroit, you know, in the Tri-County area, they're like, well, I never see any of that Visit Detroit marketing. And I would say, good, because we want to make sure our job is to go out and say great things about Detroit to the rest of the world and bring the rest of the world to Detroit. We want, you know, the ancillary benefit of that civic pride and letting Detroiters know what's going on, that's a good thing. But ultimately, our job is to get those dollars from somewhere else, bring them here, and lift up our economy that way.
You know, how much coordination does there have to be with, like, the state, you know, and the whole Pure Michigan campaign and everything else? Because I think those commercials have been pretty effective. And I've got friends who live in other states in the Midwest, and they say, those Pure Michigan commercials are all over the place here. We've noticed Ontario starting to invade our tariff, saying it's time to come visit again. How much coordination do you do there, and is that an asset?
It is a huge asset, and the folks at Travel Michigan with the Michigan Economic Development Corporation, Dave Lorenz and all of his team, they are fantastic partners. A lot of people do think, when they think Pure Michigan, they think Mackinac, they think Traverse City, they think somewhere north along the lake. But again, 40% of all visitors are coming to the Metro Detroit area, and it's because we work hand in glove with the Travel Michigan folks. They're really making an emphasis around pursuing that pure, and that is it takes a variety of different forms and urban experiences. Cultural experiences, that's a real touchstone for people. So Grand Rapids and Detroit, other cities, Traverse City, Kalamazoo, we really do benefit from that collaboration. And of course, we do love our partners just across the border in Ontario, too.
And well, I mean, Windsor's a huge part of it.
Absolutely.
We've been cut off from them for a few years because of COVID.
Yeah.
Has that had an impact? And I mean, now that things are easing up a little bit in that regard, how do you work with Canada and Windsor and Ontario too? Because, you know, that's a huge part of the experience if you come here, the fact that you can actually go to another country just across the river.
Yes. I mean, and that is a huge asset that we have a campaign with our friends in Windsor Essex, you know, the two nation destination. That's Detroit, that's Windsor, that's our Southeast Michigan and Southwest Ontario region. That's very special. I'm really excited. In a couple weeks, I'm going over to the Windsor Essex visitor, our counterparts over there for their general assembly meeting. First time that I've been out of the country since 2019. And
sure.
And people say, well, you're only going a couple miles. It's a long way right now when you think about where we have been.
Yeah,
that couple miles is going to be really special.
Well, good conversation so far, Chris, and I appreciate it. And you know, a couple of things we did want to talk about. Obviously want to talk about your current role, because it is vital. And I want to ask you one more question about that before we get back to this conference and calling this off. But from your perspective, what do you think we need to do to make visitors' experience better in Detroit? Because, you know, I'm not involved in the planning of these sorts of things. I don't know what kinds of guides are necessary or whatever signage. What do we need to do to make sure that tourist experience is something to remember?
I mean, I think that question probably deserves multiple podcasts in and of itself. But
sure.
I'll just say that there's many people come to our region for many different reasons. And to make their experience better, it's understanding why each individual is coming to the region, what they're hoping to get out of it, and optimizing that particular experience. So the biggest thing that we can do is always be welcoming, always be our authentic Detroiter self, our Michigander self, and then understand why they're coming here and cater to that. Open our arms, give them that big Detroiter hug. That we do.
Well, Chris Moyer, my guest right now, again, he's the Senior Director of Communications for Visit Detroit. It's the Metro Detroit Convention and Visitors Bureau. Before that, though, he was the Director of Communications here at the Detroit Regional Chamber. This event, I say this is sort of like you've got a ton of people from Southeast Michigan that come up to this thing. And in a way, it almost helps to rekindle their own love of Detroit and where they do business and where they're from by getting everybody together up here. Do you find that this does sort of help people better cheerlead for the region?
Absolutely. I think people often walk away from this week with two, you know, with many things, but two things very, very clearly. One, boy, that, yeah. Wow, I can take a breath because I just talked to 1,300 of my closest friends for 3 days straight, and we talked great ideas, and we came up with substantive solutions for problems and opportunities that our city and our region and our state faces. But I think people come away from it also with a renewed sense of civic pride, with a renewed sense of statewide pride. That is a good thing. We can remind ourselves that despite challenges, there are smart people that we are standing shoulder to shoulder with. There are good people throughout the region, and this is the place to brainstorm, collaborate, and come up with great ideas.
Well, you know, I look at this, and the first time I came to this conference, I was one of two broadcast outlets that were here, WJR and WDET.
Right,
and then you know. We just kept kicking down the door a little bit because this was sort of a closed-off event back then, much more so than it is now. It's much more open now because you've got all this media exposure. You have all this. That means you've got to have a good event to pull this off to make sure that the coverage that you are getting from up here is what you want it to be. What kind of pressure does that put on when it comes to planning the event, when it comes to making sure that it goes off without a hitch?
Oh, there is...
Because there are eyes on this.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I can't exactly get in the mind of Sandy Barua Tammy Carnreich and Brad Williams and Megan Spanitz and all of the Wendy Nodge, all of these incredible people that lead this effort to put on this magnificent event. But I can tell you that being in the room with them, it's not as much that they see this as something that is pressure filled. They see this as a humble duty that they get to do, to be the convener for so many eyes on what is happening here and delivering a great program that is substantive, where great conversations happen, where great ideas are shared, and that news is made is important. And that is you hit the nail on the head. What it was a few years ago is not over the last 10 plus years, particularly under Sandy's leadership at the chamber. This has become a must-view event for the media because a lot of news happens here.
Yeah, it certainly does. And I mean, I'm looking at the setups that we have now, the arrangements that I make weeks before I come up here. They're like, oh, they're running internet lines for us here. Everybody's got power. Everybody's got all this stuff. There's just so much coordination that goes on just to this room that we're in right now, let alone the other media room, let alone the giant theater and the production that goes into, you know, making this look as professional as possible. It's an impressive feat. I mean, but the details that you have to think about, I'm guessing, there's a million things that most of us who are here wouldn't even consider or something that you had to worry about.
Yes. Yes. You really articulated the challenge. And I think about this, and I think that my wonderful former colleagues, my chamber family, sometimes hard things are worth doing. And particularly, I think hard things are worth doing and doing them well. And, you know, right after this conference ends, the planning starts for next year, and there is a playbook. There's a lot of things that knowledge is passed down year to year, and we know how to execute on running all those cable lines, making sure the internet can support live broadcasts of multiple
cell phone service, which was spotty back in the day, and now it's much better.
Yeah, I mean, I heard stories back of people running out to go try to find payphones and to tell editors downstate what news just had happened. So Now we have, this becomes a technological aircraft carrier, really, of opportunity to communicate with the wider world.
You know, and with this too, I mean, technological advances are good, but then it also sort of ups the pressure on your presentation level.
Yes.
And making sure that these events are as good as anything you'd see anywhere, right? These are very professionally presented panels, everything else. I mean, the lighting, the audio, the, you know, the video production that goes into some of these things. Is there pressure to sort of up the game a little bit every year?
Well, I think that
I know you don't like the word pressure.
You know, actually, but, I don't mind the word pressure, but I think that you, yes, there is, the pressure then is, what is the best in class? What are other top-level productions around the country, around the world doing? Because this is a world-class production, and we want to maintain, they want to maintain, I say we, because I always will have love for the chamber.
I know, I've been there.
They will always want to maintain that highest level because of who, you know what the purpose of this event is, which is so unique. You don't have bipartisan thought leaders come together and try to figure out solutions, sometimes talk past each other. We know that. Business leaders, civic leaders, all coming into to a room. This is a unique event nationwide. It just doesn't exist in other places.
Say, are people, you know, benchmarking themselves against what you guys are doing?
Oh,
here?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The Mackinac Policy Conference. I mean, I'm originally from Michigan, but I worked in Colorado, mm-hmm. politics, in government, and other states would talk about this event as one to try to emulate.
Well, I want to wrap up with this and give you an opportunity to give listeners and people maybe who haven't been here just one thought about the level of dedication and effort that goes into putting this together. What do people need to know about the people behind the scenes who are doing this?
Yeah, I think that fundamentally, the people, my former colleagues, recognize that in many large and small ways, what the work that the chamber does, that the work that is allowed to happen here, the ideas that are generated here and then are 6 months later, 6 years later, turned into reality and solutions, these make fundamental differences in people's lives. And then times, you know, there are tough times for so many people right now, coming out of, you know, still in the pandemic, the endemic phase of it, inflation. These are the issues that people are trying to solve here. And the chamber takes that as a solemn responsibility and one that they hold very dear to their heart, that they're contributing to making people's lives just that much better.
Well, I think it has been very important over the last few years how much the coverage has expanded, how open and more transparent this whole thing has become. I think that's a huge thing that's important for the citizenry. Because they do see that people are actually trying to work. Yes, they're having a little bit of fun up here too. But
yeah, I mean, full credit to Sandy, to Tammy, Megan Spanitz, Matt Friedman from Tanner Friedman. These folks, these are the leaders that helped open it up and said transparency is critical so that people realize the good that can happen here.
All right, Chris Moyer, we appreciate your time,
Craig.
Sir. We know you got a busy season coming up. There's lots of fun stuff that's coming up in the region this summer and. Yeah.
It's going to be a great summer.
You're going to be busy.
Come down, experience all the good that is in our region. We're all very lucky to have some opportunities. So thank you so much for having me
on. Of course. Yeah. It's always fun to talk to you. Nice to see you. And we'll talk again soon.
I can't wait.
All right. This is the VVK Podcast. Well, thanks for checking out another edition of the VVK Podcast. Again, my name is Craig Folley. We will be back next week with more interesting interviews. Got a lot of different stuff that I want to do in the coming days and some interesting folks that I've run into that are like, hey, I'd love to do the podcast. And so who am I to say no? I'll give you a hint as to who they are in a little bit. Not today, but it's coming up. So I will get some social media posts out there and let you know what's coming up. In the meantime, like this podcast, subscribe to this podcast, tell your friends about it, share it on social media, anything you can do to help get the word out there. We're not looking to make a lot of money off of this, or any money, really, frankly. It's just about elevating the community, talking to interesting people, and having a lot of fun while we do it. And I hope that you are getting that. That's coming through. That's really the whole goal. Anyway, I appreciate the support that we've had so far. It's been really surprising and remarkable. And we'll be back with more conversations on the VVK podcast. Again, I'm Craig Folley. I hope you have a fantastic day.